Welcome to episode 1169 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This week, in our series, 1010 with Jesus, a deeper look, we are exploring meaningful conversations Jesus had with his disciples, with his family, with strangers, and with religious and political authorities. The setting is Jacob's Well, near Sychar in Samaria. The sun blazes overhead. A weary Jesus sits by the well. A lone woman approaches, water jar in hand. The woman is cautious, eyes narrowing slightly as she sees a Jewish man sitting at the well. She pauses. Jesus speaks first.
Will you give me a drink?
That's not a question I would have predicted. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?
If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.
Well, let's see. Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock?
Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Never thirst again? Is that possible? Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw.
Go, call your husband and come back.
I have no husband.
You are right when you say you have no husband. The truth is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true.
The woman's face flashes with surprise, pain, and wonder. She takes a step back, studying him. Who is this man?
Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. And seeing that you clearly have supernatural insight, perhaps you can help settle a long-standing debate. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem.
I see that you are trying to deflect, but I will respond by showing you a truth that you would do well to hear. Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth.
I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us.
I, the one speaking to you, I am he.
The woman gasps. She takes a step forward, then backward. The weight of the moment settles around them. Her voice trembles.
How can this be? You know me. You speak truth, not condemnation. Are you really him, the one we've waited for?
I did not come to condemn, but to save. The water I offer flows not from this well, but from the heart of the Father. It will cleanse, restore, and make new. You too are called to carry that water to others.
Me? But I am no one. Broken, rejected by my people. I come to this well alone.
And yet I came here for you. Before the foundation of the world, I knew you. Before the sun rose today, I planned this moment. You will not be defined by your past. The Father is seeking hearts that are open, and yours is. Leave your jar. Let me fill your life.
The woman hesitates, then places the jar down. Her eyes are moist, but alight with something new. Hope. She looks at Jesus with wonder.
I must tell my neighbors, the people in my village. They need to hear this.
Go, let the living water flow.
In John 4, we encounter one of the most powerful and personal conversations Jesus ever had, a dialogue between a Jewish rabbi and a Samaritan woman. At first glance, this may seem like just a story of ancient cultural boundaries crossed, but it is far more. This moment is layered with grace, truth, and transformation. It reveals the heart of Jesus, the nature of salvation, and the essence of true worship. This conversation did not occur in a synagogue or temple, but at a well, a place of daily necessity, weariness, and routine. Jesus, tired from his journey, waits at Jacob's well, and there the encounter unfolds. The Samaritan woman came to draw water at noon, the hottest time of the day, perhaps to avoid the shame and judgment of others. She was likely used to being overlooked or scorned. But Jesus sees her.
Give me a drink.
With this simple request, Jesus shatters multiple social norms. Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Men did not publicly address women they were not related to. Rabbis certainly did not speak to women with questionable reputations. Yet Jesus engages her with dignity and purpose. This is not just social rebellion, it is divine inclusion. Jesus initiates, he invites, he dignifies, he crosses the lines of ethnicity, gender, and morality to extend grace. In a world that still creates barriers, Jesus reminds us that the gospel crosses every boundary. As the woman responds with surprise and guarded curiosity, Jesus shifts the conversation from physical thirst to spiritual need. The woman is intrigued. She asks questions, points to historical traditions, and notes that Jesus has no bucket. But Jesus patiently leads her deeper toward living water. What is this living water? It is the eternal, soul-satisfying life found in him. It is the Spirit poured into hearts. It is the love that quenches shame, the truth that ends confusion, the presence that replaces isolation. She comes for water, but Jesus offers her life. The turning point comes when Jesus asks her to go call her husband. When she reveals she has no husband, and Jesus points out that she has had five, this is not condemnation, it is revelation. Jesus brings her story into the light with gentleness and truth. He names her past, not to shame her, but to show her that he knows her fully and still offers her grace. She then changes the subject to religious debate. Where should we worship? It's a deflection, but Jesus honors the question.
The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him.
This is one of the most beautiful teachings on worship in all of Scripture. True worship is not about geography or ritual. It is about heart and truth. It is not confined to temples or mountains, but it is centered in Jesus, the truth, and animated by the Holy Spirit. Jesus does not dismiss her question. He elevates it. He reveals that worship is not about places, but about people transformed by grace. Jesus then reveals his identity for the first time. And he does so not to a disciple, not to a priest, not to a ruler, but to a Samaritan woman with a painful past. Jesus reveals himself to the one society would consider least worthy. And how does she respond? She leaves her water jar. The very thing she came to the well for is now forgotten in light of the one she has encountered. She runs to the town, saying,
"Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?"
Her testimony transforms the village. Many believe because of her words. And then they come to Jesus themselves and believe because of his words. Let's get deep. Jesus meets us where we are, not in cathedrals, but at wells, not when we're ready, but when we're thirsty. He meets us in our ordinary places with extraordinary grace. Jesus offers what the world cannot. No relationship, achievement, or substance can satisfy our souls. Only the living water he gives quenches our deepest thirst. Jesus knows us completely. Our past does not disqualify us. In fact, it often becomes the context for his grace. He sees all and still calls us into life. Jesus redefines worship. He invites us into a relationship, not rituals, into spirit and truth, not systems and traditions. Jesus sends us to tell others. One encounter changes everything. The woman at the well becomes the first evangelist in John's gospel. Her testimony invites a village to meet the Savior. What are you carrying today? What do you think you need, only to discover that Jesus offers more? What shame, distraction, or habit are you ready to leave behind? The Samaritan woman left her jar. She ran with joy. She spoke with boldness. Her past did not define her future. Jesus did. He can do the same for you. In John 4, we meet a woman with a complicated past and a weary soul. But she meets a Savior who knows her, speaks truth to her, and invites her into living water. Through her story, we see our own. We too have thirsted in wrong places. We too need the living water that only Jesus provides. Today, he is waiting at your well. He sees you. He loves you. He calls you. Will you leave your jar and follow him? Father, thank you for the living water that flows through Jesus. Thank you for meeting us in our thirst, our shame, and our searching. Help us to worship in spirit and truth, to leave behind the things that cannot satisfy, and to run with joy to share what you have done in our lives. Let our story point others to the Savior who knows, who sees, and who saves. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full, today.